Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon. It was myself, Muhammad Lambat, on the Globe Trotting program on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And we talk, should I say travel? Yes, we talk travel on the Globe Trotting program, but not today. For the last few weeks, we cannot talk travel because we got something else that is traveling around the world, and that's called coronavirus. They doing the travel, or he's doing the travel, not we. So let us give him a chance to travel, and let us talk about him in the meantime. That's Mr. Coronavirus. But anyway, be that as it may, alhamdulillah, we find that we are now in an extended lockdown again. We're all stuck. There's issues going around, flying around, lots of problems. But we as Muslims, alhamdulillah, let us abide by the rules, do what is best for us. What the government tells us to do, Islamically, we are told what to do by the government that we're living in, the country that we're living in. The government tells us what to do, we've got to do accordingly. So let us abide by the rules and do what has to be done. When they say masjids are closed, we have to abide by the rules. Masjids are closed. There's reasons for that. We find that there's many churches that are closed, many synagogues that are closed. Like I just said, I live opposite a Jewish school. They're abiding by the rules. Not far from me, there's a synagogue. And I was talking to one of the teachers at the Jewish school, and they're telling me that they abide by the rules of the government. So they are closed. The synagogues are closed. The schools are closed. They are all abiding by the rules. We are talking of a Jewish organization. We as Muslims should be also a group that abide by rules. Islam teaches us that. Let us abide by the rules. Let us stay at home. If we were told that masjids must be closed, if one person, just one person, in a small congregation, if we're requesting for a masjid to be opened where we got five or ten people that are going to be going for salah, if one person from the five or the ten has the virus, what do you think will happen? We've got to consider that. But be that as it may, Allah protect us all, Allah save us all, Allah save all this fitna that's going around in this country at the moment. Allah protect all the people that are slandering one another, talking bad of one another. Let this particular lockdown and this virus bring some sense into our heads that this is real. These things happen, and it happens for a reason. Allah has brought all this upon us for a reason. So let's abide by the rules and regulations of this country. And inshallah, there's goodness in there, and Allah will bring goodness for us also. So we got to look at it in that light. Humility, let us be humble, let us be kind, let us be giving, and let us be forgiving. So let us all work together as one. And in that way, something good will come out for us. Inshallah, it's not forever. The masjids are closed, not forever. We have advantages here in South Africa. Many, many advantages. We were given everything on the tray in South Africa when it came to our deen. Masjids opened all over whenever we wanted masjids to be built. Without a doubt, we would get masjids. In small, small towns, 5, 6 masjids, without a doubt, we get it. Which airports around the world, like South Africa, has got their own musallas, Jamaat Khanas? South Africa's got it. Shopping centers, every shopping center has got it. And then you're looking at our burials. Our burials in South Africa, within 2-3 hours, we can bury. 4 hours, we can bury. We have the opportunity of doing things like that. We get what we want when it comes for Islam. You get halal food around the country. Supermarkets, major supermarkets, all, they have the halal foods. Do we want to jeopardize all that just for those 2-3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? Where we're going to now retaliate with the government, we're going to retaliate with the president that we want the masjids to be opened. Not a problem, they will do that. Time to come, when everything is over, and then when we say we want masjids, then when we want our way, they'll say, no ways, you can't get it. Because during the difficult times you didn't stand with us, now you want all that. No way. Things will change for the worst. So let us not be short-sighted. So inshallah, Allah will open the doors for us and everything will go okay. Let us just sit at home, pray our namaz at home, and inshallah, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. That let all this go away in a dignified manner. Whatever has to happen will happen. Let us try and protect, let us try and do what we have to do, and the rest we leave it in the hands of the Almighty. And inshallah, everything will go well. So let us not be naive. Let us be human beings. First of all, let us show our akhlaq, who we are, and what we stand for. Let us abide by the rules. Allah will open our doors for us, and things will be for the better, inshallah. I came across something which was very interesting, and I thought I'd read it out to you. But today we are going to be talking to somebody from London, or from the UK, who's based in Liverpool. And we're going to be talking about the virus and the condition of their situation in the UK. We are going to be talking to Richard Rose, who's in the UK at the moment. But before that, I would like to read out something which I have come across. And I think some of you may have got it on social media. But it was so interesting that I thought I'd just pen it and read it out to you. It goes like this. The coronavirus. I imagined if this virus could speak, and I imagined what it would say through a letter if it could do it, and these are the words I managed to put on a piece of paper. Hello, I am COVID-19. Many of you will know me simply as coronavirus. And yes, it's me. Sorry for the short notice, but it is not known when I will arrive and in which form and force I will present myself to you and why I am here. Okay, let's say I'm here because I was tired of seeing you to regress instead of evolving. I was tired of seeing you constantly ruining everything with your hands. And I was tired of how you treat this planet. I was tired of how you treat each other. And I was tired of your abuses, your violence, your wars, of your interpersonal conflicts and your prejudices. I was tired of your social envy, your greed, your hypocrisy, your selfishness. And I was tired of the little time you dedicate to yourselves and to your families. I was tired of the little attention that you very often give to your children. I was tired of your superficiality. And I was tired of the importance you often give superfluous things to the detriment of the essential ones. I was tired of your obsessive and frantic search of the most beautiful dress that you wear just for one occasion. Or the last smartphone model and the most beautiful car just to feel fulfilled. I was tired of your betrayals and I was tired of your disinformation. I was tired of the little time you spend communicating amongst yourselves. And I was very tired of your constant complaints when you do nothing to improve your lives. I was tired of seeing you arguing and fighting for trivial reasons. And I was tired of the constant brawls between those who govern and the wrong choices that often take those people who should represent you. I was tired of seeing people insulting and killing themselves for a football game. I know I will be hard on you, maybe too much, but I don't look anyone in the eyes. I am a virus. My action will cost you lives, but I wanted you to understand once and for all that you have to change the cause for your own good. The message that I want to give you is simple. I wanted you, and I wanted to highlight all the limits of the society in which you live, because you can eliminate them. I wanted to stop everything on purpose, so that you understand that the only important thing to which you will have to direct all of your energies to from now on is simply one, and that is life. Yours and that of your children. And do all things necessary to protect it. Treat it with affection and share it with others. I wanted as much as possible to lock you up in isolation in your homes, far away from your parents, grandparents, children, and grandchildren. For you to understand how important a hug is, the human touch, a dialogue, a handshake, an evening with friends, a walk downtown, dinner in some restaurant, or jogging in the open air. From these gestures It must start all over again. You are all the same. Don't make differences between yourselves. I have shown you that distances don't exist. I have traveled kilometers and kilometers in no time. And without you noticing it, I am passing by, but the feelings of proximity and collaboration I have created among you in a very short time that will have to last forever. Live your lives as simply as possible. Walk, breathe deeply, do good, because the good will always come back to you multifold. Enjoy nature. Do what you like and what fills you up, and create the conditions for not having to depend on anything else. When you start celebrating, I will have just left. But remember, do not try to be better people only in my presence. Be good, be kind, be humble, and most of all, be helpful. Goodbye from your friend, Coronavirus. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? So let us think about it and let us live our life simple, inshallah. And Allah will give us so much of blessing in that. Let's put a reboot in our lives and things will change for the better, inshallah. So that is us. We are now going to be talking to Mr. Richie Rose. We welcome Richard Rose, who's in Enfield, Liverpool, in the UK, and he is on the ground, obviously stuck at home, I presume, and we're going to be talking to him live all the way from Johannesburg regarding, as I said, we're not talking tourism, but we're talking of the different countries in the world that's having problems, that's having this issue. We know it's a worldwide issue, so we're talking about, in particular, the coronavirus, which is affecting the world. And we do have Richard Rose, better known as Richie, and who's in Enfield. Richard, thank you very much for joining us on the Sunday afternoon. I know it's throughout the world, whoever I'm talking to many friends, many colleagues around the world, and they're all sitting at home. Thank you very much for joining us, and good afternoon to you, first of all.
Yes, good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us on the Sunday afternoon, Richard. Now, you're probably stuck at home, I presume.
Yes, I'm stuck at home.
It's what an obvious question, huh? Because throughout the world, whoever I'm talking to, they're stuck at home. And I guess that you're stuck at home, and the biggest thing is now you're busy with maintenance, the home maintenance, because that's what everybody's doing. They're busy with their homes, they're busy repairing, they're busy doing all that, and they've got the woman on their cases sorting things out. Is that the case with you, or are you at liberty to do what you want to on that side when it comes to working, or what do you do?
I'm actually currently working from home, so my company provides an essential necessity, which is providing heat, because we operate on a boiler system here in the UK. So just to give you a bit of a background, yeah. We use geysers like South Africa, so there's like a boiler, and it can either be supplied by gas or wood fuel, which is like literally burning wood and creating heat.
My company provides
the wood, wood pellets and wood chip to supply some sustainable biomass boilers, which is obviously eco-friendly, and that's what our company does. So my company is still operating as it is essential for the wider country to obviously have heat and hot water and electricity. So my company is still operating. I'm basically the stock manager there, so I ensure that there is enough of that product within the country to supply to all our customers. So with that being said, I do work from home. But other than that, obviously this weekend I am just sorting out a couple maintenance things around the house, cleaning up in the garden as we are now going into summer. So just getting prepared for the beautiful weather.
Ah, that's it, the beautiful weather which the UK always looks for. And that beautiful weather, I think you guys just got for a month or so, and you jump out of your skins when you get that. So we in South Africa, we are really, really fortunate, I must say that.
No, I must agree, yes, I've been South African weather, but With the how do you say it, global warming at the moment, it's changing anyway, but hopefully this summer will be nice.
I hope so too, but now we have this virus that's here and that's now just hindering and blocking everything. But be that as it may, you're based in Enfield, which is Liverpool. That's on the northwest of the UK, is it?
That is correct.
And you're quite far from London. You're probably about between four and five hours drive from London.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now the situation there, first of all, as we know, it's a global thing. And your situation in the UK is different because from the head it's going down. So your Prime Minister's got coronavirus also.
Yes, that is correct. I just read a post, actually, I think it was yesterday. He is clear. He's actually okay now. I'm not too sure if the virus has left his system, but he is out of ICU and he's okay right now.
Oh, okay. All right. So it started from the head there. Now, generally, what's the mood like in the UK with this whole virus thing at the moment? Because UK, the numbers are climbing very, very fast, according to statistics that we see here.
The statistics are showing us that it's climbing pretty fast. I mean, we have quite a number of cases and no recoveries as yet. So just to give you a few statistics, we have almost 80,000 positive people tested. And then we've had about almost 10,000 deaths and no recoveries so far. So it is a bit scary at the moment.
It's sad. Yesterday I received a video clip of a Muslim burial organization that sent a clip out. It went viral on how they're burying 10 people at once in one massive grave, but they obviously separating them, but they dug one massive grave and they're burying them in those graves. And it is so heartening to see how it's being done, where only a handful of people are allowed to go there. And it just brought tears to the eyes when you look at the condition today, where even for burials, there aren't people that are there. And I believe the people are just, the situation is so bad in the UK at the moment, according to the news that we're getting. When it comes to deaths also, it is so difficult for the authorities to cope and manage, because the funeral parlors are also not coping with all the deaths, apparently.
No, they're not. It is also... burials in the UK, that's one of the things I haven't checked on, but as far as I am aware, the burials in the UK are carrying on as usual. However, it obviously does take quite a lot of time for a burial or cremations and that type of thing. So one of my neighbors did mention to me the other day that one of their friend's uncles had passed away and there's only allowed a certain amount of people, I think it was about 10 immediate family members, to go to the burial, and you could not go close enough. Obviously it's a closed casket, so it's very sad when your loved ones have to go and you have to send them off like that.
Yes, that's the saddest part, where people are not allowed to go there for the funerals. That is the sad part. You know, we always wish and we hope for if anything happens to us, we would like to have people around us, we'd like to have family around us. In this situation, it makes it so difficult. Shame, and it's very, very tough. So in the UK, this is what's happening at the moment. And the deaths, you said, are over 10,000 according to statistics already.
Definitely, yeah.
That's a sad situation. Now, on the ground, when it comes to the people generally now, is there a national lockdown, or is it people isolating themselves, or is it from the government side?
Well, it's both government and public-wise. You can see everyone's coming together as a community and obviously just trying to stay indoors, keep everybody safe. You do see people obviously having to go to the shops and stuff. People are trying to keep their distance and be conscious about how they are hygienically safe. Obviously, before, right at the beginning when the pandemic came out and the lockdown was announced, everyone was uncertain and quite scared. But as I've noticed, it's settled down and people are understanding what they need to do. Everyone is just abiding to the rules.
So the situation then, when it all started, people were obviously unsure of what to do, and now it's all falling into place, it's fallen into place, and people are now used to it, and they're now staying at home. And the social distancing, that's what everybody is talking of in the whole world, social distancing. And knowing the in UK, where there's crowded places and so on, and also populated places in the UK, what's it like when it comes to social distancing? I hope, you know, it becomes difficult in a situation where you have all buildings next to one another, you've got blocks of flats and so on, which central London has got a lot of those. So I wonder how they're coping on that side.
No, definitely. I mean, it's, like you say, it's across the UK. So even within Liverpool, all these crowded areas, but they're trying to stop, obviously, mass majorities of people coming together. Obviously, you can't stop people living next door to each other, but there's not many flat-like areas within Liverpool, but we do have terraced houses here, so you have your neighbours, and obviously you're conscious about how you come home, pass each other in the corridors or anything like that. So yes, everyone is trying to keep safe, but at the same time, it's inevitable. You have to pass someone, whether you're going to the shop or whether you're going home or that type of thing. So everyone is wearing masks, gloves, especially when you leave the house. You see some people even in their cars and in public transport wearing gloves and masks. So, yeah, it is very congested, but at the same time, everyone is trying to just keep their space.
They have to do that. Now, you mentioned about public transport. You want to elaborate on the public transport side of it? Because when it comes to public transport, I think that is the biggest problem that we have. When people want to travel, they are in the public transport.
In a vehicle, so we don't really take public transport, but obviously we know and we see a lot of people that obviously, like you say, are used to taking the public transport, and that's their way of commuting. I have seen a number of buses on the road, not as many as they usually are. Obviously, you notice a lot of the routes have been cancelled and closed. There's only essential routes that are open, whether it's bus or train-wise. With that being said, when you do drive past the bus, you can see that there's obviously open seats amongst people on the bus and the passengers. Train-wise, obviously you don't see the trains, but there's obviously a number of routes that have been cancelled and closed, and there's only essential travel for those that have to basically go to work and commute to work that are in essential jobs that they cannot work from home.
So is the underground...
That also being...
Sorry, go and continue, sorry.
I was obviously going to mention, obviously, like taxis as well. There's only private hire taxis, like your Ubers, and there you only allowed up to certain amounts of passengers in one vehicle. You have to sit in the back seat. The driver has to obviously have a mask, hygienic wipes, gloves, and obviously he has to wipe down his car in between each passenger. So there is rules and regulations for the transport and that type of thing. So even with our business, we have obviously drivers up and down when they're sharing a truck and swapping trucks. They have to wash down the vehicle on the inside, hygienically, or up and down with bacterial wipes. They all have to wear gloves and masks. So everyone is taking a precaution in terms of public transport as well.
It's very, very important, yeah. So in that case, what about the underground system then?
The underground trains, obviously, as far as I have heard, because like you say, I'm far from London, and it's the only place that we really do have underground trains. Numerous routes being shut, numerous trains being taken off the rails, so there's only a certain amount for essential key workers. Other than that, no one is to obviously travel on the underground trains because it is so congested and there's no fresh air and oxygen. And from reports, oxygen is what you need when you do have coronavirus. So with that being said, they're obviously limiting the number of people and passengers traveling up and down in the underground channels.
Yes, okay. Richard, we've already reached our time for the break, an advertising break. We'll do the break and we'll continue right after the break.
The Road to Enlightenment, a path of spirituality, your companion toward Allah. Radio Islam International, the world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. And today, as you hear, we're talking the UK, Corona in the UK. Now, we obviously are not going to be talking tourism at the moment with all what's happening around the world. And as we know, I just said early on as well that we are in a further lockdown of another 2 weeks. So we had our 3 weeks and another 2 weeks now. And it becomes difficult for many, many people in the country. There are some that obviously can just sit back, relax and enjoy, while there are others who find it very, very difficult. And going out to the shops, doing all those things, it becomes very difficult. So it's a situation. But be that as it may, we have to take care. We've got to look after ourselves. To let this whole thing go by, we need to look after ourselves and not let it spread. And in doing so, let's abide by all the rules that we have in the country. Now, we have Richie who is from the UK. He's in Liverpool and he's talking to us about the condition from his perspective and from his side. Not in an official capacity from the UK, but in his personal capacity. Richie, thank you very much once again for talking to us on Radio Islam. And I really appreciate, like I said, I really appreciate you taking time this Sunday afternoon. I know you've got some chores to be done because you, as you said, you're working. It's normal for you. And now you're busy doing your housework, which is what we're doing every day. So we do have a bit of time. But thank you very much again, once again, for talking to us.
No, it's a pleasure.
Sure. Now, I'd like to ask you, we're talking about transport and all those things. First of all, in South Africa, we're having a problem with social distancing. That's an issue that we have in South Africa. Now, on your side, what's it like when it comes to social distancing? Are people abiding by the rules? Especially when you're going to the shops, when you have to buy your essentials and you go to the shop. What I see here in South Africa is people go to the shops. Yes, they go, they walk, maybe one or two persons go to the shop. But when they get to the shop, they've got a whole bunch of them standing together. And that is a bit of an issue which we find here. What's the situation like in the UK when it comes to social distancing and also going to the shops and getting your necessities?
No, it's exactly the same. What we have here is just exactly what you described. You have people queuing outside stores. You have only a certain amount of people entering the store at a time. You're not allowed, certain shops aren't allowing couples. So if you are two people within a household, you're not allowed to enter. So if you go into the shop with your wife, they stop you by the door. If you go into the shop with kids, they try and ask you if you can leave your kids in the car. It's actually quite sad. So you can't go shopping with your family during this time period as well. With that also being said, like you mentioned, you have a queue outside the shop. And the entrance and the exit is the same door at certain shops. So you have people exiting with their trolleys and they're walking right past the people that are trying to enter, whom are 2 meters apart in the queue. But you still have people walking past each other, rubbing shoulders in certain areas because there is just not enough space for people to keep 2 meters distance wherever they go. Within the shop as well, you have only a short number of people going in, but if we're all standing in the aisle where you have your chicken and we're all trying to get obviously a packet of meat for our family, you're all standing right next to each other and asking people, excuse me, and you're still not 2 meters apart. So the logic behind it is a bit
It makes it difficult, eh? It
doesn't make sense.
Yes, it makes it difficult.
It does make it very difficult.
But how do you control? Like you said, you are limited for space. So how do you control that then? Here also in South Africa, we have that issue. When I go to the big supermarkets, for example, to buy the basics, I find that people are bumping one another in the supermarket. Now, how do you control that? So it's very difficult. It's just that you got to take care when you come out, when you come back from there. Obviously, you got to sanitize and you got to do all those things. That's the only thing I think that can be done. But be very, very careful. Try not to go out. That's the bottom line. Stay at home.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. I think that's the message which has to reverberate in the whole world. That stay at home only when it's really, really necessary. And then only. Another thing, in South Africa, alcohol and cigarettes are banned. What's the situation like with alcohol and cigarettes in the UK?
I still see them on the shelves.
Oh, okay.
Cigarettes and alcohol are still being sold.
Ah, okay. So in South Africa, they've banned it for now. But I think they're going to be discussing it. According to the news, they're going to be discussing it today or tomorrow, where they probably are going to have a bit of leeway there. So I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, there's difficulty in that situation also. So we don't know what to do and what to say when it comes to those things. Now, the availability of the food stores, are there only the essential food stores that are open or all the stores in general?
Only your food stores.
Essentials, yes.
You don't have any, yeah, only your essentials, yeah. You don't have any clothing stores open or hardly any, how do you say, DIY building stores, like your builder's warehouse or something like that. In South Africa, it won't be open. Those type of stores are not open in the UK. They do have a lot of online services, so they're still holding out, deliveries out to customers and things like that. But obviously, you're in a very long queue, obviously, to get it delivered.
Yes, right, okay. Now, when it comes to the authorities on your side, are they taking action or how? What are they doing if they find people are walking outside, people are loitering or whatever it is? Are they taking drastic action there?
Yes, there has been some cases of drastic action taken when people are trying to hold group, group gatherings and that type of thing. There's been a couple of cases on the news where you've heard some people are trying to have house parties. I mean, there was one famous footballer that actually had a party in his house. He's been fined by the government and by his own football club, saying that this is not accustomed to the lockdown rules and regulations, so you've obviously broken quarantine. And there's consequences that obviously come across. So there has been a few cases that you've heard of. Other than that, you don't hear about them on the news, you won't know about it, but I'm sure there is a couple cases where people have tried to hold gatherings, and the police are aware of it, and they will try to stop it.
It's very important that it has to be done, because you just need one person that picks it up, or one person that hears it, and they go into a small little gathering, and the next person, even if you're talking of 5 and 6 people, when you look at this whole thing, we find that in South Africa also we're having a bit of an issue where people want to get mosques opened, where just a few people will go into a mosque for prayers, for their particular prayer and so on. But if you look at it, if one person from the 5 or the 6 people got it, those 5 people are definitely going to be in contact with that one person, and then you got 5, and when they go home, it's another 2 or 3 people at home each. So you're looking at another 15, 20 people that's going to pick it up, and that's how it spreads. So the best is stay at home. That's the bottom line message. Stay at home and try and avoid any public spaces if you can. I think that's the message in the UK as well, because I was reading an article, and that's what they're asking people to do. Stay at home. Do not associate and do not mix with people for now. It's short term. It's not forever. It's very, very short term. So the UK also, that's what we're reading into messages. That's the way it is. Now, as far as the airports are concerned, are all your airports closed, or are there limited services at the airports? So UK has got many airports.
Okay. Yes. Sorry to cut you off there. Again, there is limited access only for essential, essential products, essential goods like medical or food wise, essential travel for key workers. Say for instance, someone needs to be air transported to the hospital or something like that. So that's the only time that air travel is permitted. Other than that, there's no public commuting via air travel.
Oh, so there's nothing like that. It's only for necessities and so on. So all the airports around, all the small little airports, I presume there are some small airports which are probably shut down completely.
Yes, completely.
Right, okay. Now, as far as adapting to change is concerned on your side, with what you're doing, the work that you're doing, Richie? I'm getting shuffling on through the microphone here.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. All right. As far as adapting to change, in your situation, obviously, like you said, you're essential services, but you had to change the way you do things as well. And you have to change in drastic you had to apply drastic measures in your changes also. What's it like from the start to now, where you are changed? You have to change all the time, I presume. You can't be initially when they said that, okay, stay at home, and then there's changes that had to be made and so on. So how did you adapt to the change all the time as we're going along, yourself together with the people that's around you there?
Well, you got to take it one step at a time, I guess. You just got to take in what they actually say, listen to the rules and regulations and the law, and just try your best to adhere to them. It is very difficult when the rules are constantly changing. You obviously got to make sure you read the news, try listen to radio, listen to the news on the TV, pick up a newspaper, just do a bit of Google research, just so you understand why some of these things are happening. I mean, you have a lot of people walking around not understanding why it is such a pandemic, until it obviously happens to someone within their close circle or family or friends. And that's the biggest problem. People need to obviously understand why this is happening. And if they don't understand why it's happening, then they don't adhere to the rules. So yes, to adapt to it and change, you always got to know what's going on first. But yes, it is very difficult to obviously understand and adapt to the new changes all the time.
Okay. Now, Richie, I'd like to find out, first of all, as you said, there's 80,000 positive cases. You had 10,000 deaths with no recoveries. So that is an issue on its own already. That's not critical. But as far as when this whole thing started, like in South Africa, we had, and last week also when I spoke to when I spoke to Simone in Italy, we spoke about panic buying. Now that has been an issue in Italy in particular, and we encountered that in South Africa also when it came to panic buying. Before the announcement was made with the lockdown, what was the panic buying situation? Because people just went crazy, and that's where it all spread. So in your case, in the UK, was there any panic buying, or people took it easy, or did they gradually bring the information in? How did it work there?
Well, to state the obvious, there was crazy big panic buying. The shelves were empty within a matter of days, and then the announcement came out that you only allowed a limited number of essential products. So that's when they started clamping down and stopping you from buying too much of the essentials and actually being kind to one another. So obviously other people can also the essentials. So there was a lot of panic buying right at the beginning, yes.
Ah, right. Okay. So because like here, and I don't know why around the world people are panic buying toilet rolls. And now when I go to the supermarket, the shelves are stacked with toilet rolls at the moment. So you know, I can't understand why that happened. And they were buying out just before the lockdown on our side. I happened to go for some stuff to Macro, and I found people in lines buying box lots of noodles also. Now, I mean, I looked at all that and I said, are you going to eat noodles for the rest of your life, the amount of noodles that you're buying? And then another trolley stacked with toilet rolls. It was like just amazing to see those things. So I guess in the UK also, people, there were certain things that people were going crazy for.
Yes, exactly that. toilet paper was one of them. I don't understand why. Yes. Toilet paper, there was a lot of canned food as well, canned soup, canned tomato, baked beans, all those type of canned foods were obviously flying off the shelf as well very quickly. A lot of cleaning detergents. And yes, you saw a couple of social media posts where people were taking pictures of their kitchen and they had maybe 10, 15, 20 bottles of just dishwashing liquid. Yes. And then another 10, 15, 20 bottles of just Omo washing powder for your clothes. I don't understand the panic buying for those kind of things. I can understand the essentials like food, but yes, cleaning detergents, I don't understand why, and why toilet paper. But to obviously add to that as well, because the people went and panic bought right in the beginning so quickly and bought a lot of the food, we've also seen a couple social media posts where the refuge has come to collect the rubbish, and you find people actually throwing away food now. So it's really sad that people went out of their way, went and bought large amounts of this food, and then at the end of the day to throw it away because it expired, because they didn't think about how it's obviously going to impact anyone else or themselves. I mean, like you say, how are you going to eat canned food for the rest of your life? So
yes,
a lot of people are just throwing away those tinned, those packets of noodles and that type of thing because it has ended up expiring now.
That's being very, very selfish, and I think that's unfair throughout the world. That's unfair of some of the people that can afford to buy. Especially if we look at South Africa, there's many people who cannot afford to do, like we call it, panic buying. So they're buying as they have money, or as they're getting their salaries into their accounts, they are buying. So they can't go and do panic buying like that. So instead of doing all those things, give everybody a chance, as you just said in the beginning of offset here, that give people a chance. But anyway, that's people's mentality today. There's nothing we can do about that. When I remember in 1994, when there was the elections that was going to take place from when the change of regime, and people went panic buying. They were buying gas cylinders. They were buying candles. You name it. And it was absolutely naive for them to do this because life was still normal. There was absolutely no problem and things went just normal. And people were just panic buying. And in this case, it reminds me exactly of what I saw then, where people were buying stupid things also and just accumulating and stocking up all those things, which was fruitless. So that's exactly what you're talking about also. Now, you have a connection between the UK and Europe. That is between UK and France, which is Calais and Dover, going into Calais from Dover. You have the speed train and you have ferries. At the moment, are those ferries and the speed trains operating? Probably, if they are, they're probably going only for essential services, or is it in operation?
No, exactly the same thing again. Just essentials, essential travel for key workers, if there is any. And then again, essential products, your medical supplies, your food supplies, and that's about it really. I mean, like I say, there shouldn't really be any social or political travel, even for politicians. They're trying to keep them separated, and that type of thing. So I don't think there should be any opening of the channel between Dover and France. So with that being said, no, there is no travel for public.
Right. Okay. So I think that's the bottom line message. Stay at home. The bottom line message in the whole world at the moment, stay at home. Now, how long is your lockdown for? When did it start and when does it finish? Or is it provisionally finishing, or what's it like on your side? Because we had the provisional time of 3 weeks and now it's extended again. So what's your timing like on your lockdown?
Well, we also went into lockdown for 3 weeks. I think this started, if I can be correct, 13th.
Those that can work are obviously working and trying to be in a position where they've got to take care and be careful of what they do. When they mix with people also, be careful what they do. So in the situation with Richard as well, it's something where he can work. But what do you do? You mix with people, you associate with people, and it's not easy out there. So that's how it is. Anyway, what we probably are going to do is next week we're going to talk to somebody from Turkey, inshallah. We're going to get somebody there and let's hear what the situation is on the ground in Turkey. But on our side, let us take care of ourselves. Let us look after ourselves and let everything go well for us. Oh, in fact, I should have just mentioned to Richie that he's in Liverpool and he'll never walk alone. But that's the way it is. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you